The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. It's good to be back. My friend Jill is not with me today. She had gallbladder surgery and had it removed. She's a vegan. She doesn't eat meat or drink. And I'm like, okay, well, how's that working for you? That's all I got to say about that. Anyway, nice day. Beautiful spring day out there. It's lost one tomato. Jumped the gun. I should know to wait until the snow is off South Bowl before I plant anything. But I got a little antsy. But it was a little one. It didn't cost much money, so no big deal. But the ones inside are doing pretty good. Anyway, just a couple of things to catch up on. I don't know if you saw Trump's most recent speech about radical Democrats that approve abortion even after 9 months. And do you people believe that? I mean, really? So Democrats are killing babies? I know. I get we're taking the blood out of children in a pizza parlor somewhere so we can live longer. I mean, I get that, but just killing babies after they're born? I mean, and you people listen to him. And I don't understand it. Not all of you, obviously. But then he also said about 40,000 supporters at his recent rally where there were 5,000 people. And I watched this guy interview somebody leaving. He's like, can you believe 40,000 people? And it's like, are you awake? Are you even looking around? There's not 40,000 people in here. Anyway, he'll get what's coming to him. If he keeps messing with this judge in this hush money case, he'll end up in jail, as he should be, and that's what he wants, so let's put him there. I'm happy enough that Mr. Gold Toilet is sitting in a really old, needs-to-be-updated, crappy courtroom in New York City. It's just perfect for him. Oh, and speaking of Sleepy Joe, I don't think Sleepy Joe has ever fallen asleep in his own criminal trial. I mean, the man is 78. Trump is 78. Now, that's how old Biden was when he ran for president. And, oh, my goodness, he's way too old. But you say that to any people that support Trump, it's different. Yeah, because he's old and he's a jackass. And apparently that makes it okay. One other comment before we get to the break here is, I got a little bit. The Arizona, y'all heard about them enforcing an 1864 law, and everybody really got after the Supreme Court of Arizona about that. But the fact is, the law was on the books, and the only thing that prevented them from enforcing it was Roe versus Wade. And so now that that's gone, well, that's the only law that's on the book. So the Supreme Court of Arizona should not be blamed for just simply following the law. And I think they probably did all of us a big favor. The one thing I do not like about all this abortion stuff is all these putting it on the ballot so people can vote it in or out like Ohio. I mean, Ohio, super liberal state there. And they said it's fine because the voters did. I don't like it on the ballot because I'd rather have people that vote for Republicans understand what they're actually about, which is controlling you. No, they don't make you wear a mask, I know, but they try to tell you how to run your life, how to live the way that you should, and they've got it all nailed. Anyway, we're coming up on our first break. Today's lecture, I guess for lack of a better term, is going to be about building a house and contractors and those types of things you should watch out for. And I think it's something that you should write down the date so when you do decide to build something or remodel that you can go back and listen to it before you jump in bed with one of these contractors. As I said, in Idaho, I can be a general contractor in Idaho. Now, you don't know me, folks, but if you did, that would scare you. I have no business having power tools. We have a gun safe, and it's full of power tools, and I don't even know the combo. Anyway, this is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. You can email me at commonlaw7b@gmail.com if you have any questions. Otherwise, we'll be right back.
The downtown Sandpoint Shopping District is up to it again with our 10th annual Spring Fling, April 27th. Kickoff is at Barrel 33 at noon. Grab a passport and hit the town for a chance to win tickets to see the Wallflowers in Spokane and over $1,000 in gift cards from your participating businesses to be given out throughout the day. You must be present to win. Drawings will be held at 7 p.m. at the Ponderay Winery or at the 219 Lounge, the Sandpoint Shopping District Spring Fling Event.
Let the light in this spring with doors and windows from Pro-X Home Decor Center. They now carry Marvin Ultrex windows in six exterior colors. Marvin is a national leader in high-quality windows and have been doing business for over 100 years. Pro-X also carries top names in doors, including Therma-True and Rogue Valley. Inside or out, Pro-X Home Decor Center has what you need to make your home beautiful. Pro-X Home Center, where the contractor shops, and so should you.
Bridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Red's Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
A beautiful garden starts with quality plants, and the best plants are grown with love and care at the Flower Farm north of Sandpoint. The Flower Farm is open for the season and jam-packed with perfect pansies and heavenly hardy perennials ready to plant now. Plus, pick your gorgeous hanging baskets now while the selection is good. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday and 10 to 4 Sunday. Located on Selly Road, just off Colburn Culver. And remember, healthy plants for happy gardens are grown at the Flower Farm.
Tyler from Wendy's here. The best part of Wendy's new Cinnabon Pull-Apart is every part. Unlike mornings, which have no good parts, until now. Because with Wendy's new breakfast Cinnabon Pull-Apart, mornings finally don't completely suck. And now that mornings have warm cinnamon sugar rolled dough and ooey gooey frosting, are they the best part of every day? Probably not, but you get the idea. Get to Wendy's today and get the best part in every bite with the new Cinnabon Pull-Apart.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, Cinnabon is a registered trademark of Cinnabon franchise or SPD LLC.
O'Reilly!
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a new pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades in-store only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon wiper blades have up to a 40% longer life than other premium wiper blades. The professional parts people will even install them for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
News Talk 97.1.
Check my pulse, it don't change. Stay 72, come shine on.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Glad to have you all with us, enjoying some Jerry Garcia and some Grateful Dead. I should move on, but I just can't. Trump, have any of you people seen the stuff the guy is saying or not saying? Which is like he's in the middle of a sentence and then just finishes it with blah, 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 blah. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not saying he's dumb and not making sense. I'm saying he's literally taking 10 words and mixing them all up in his head. I asked my wife, I said, what do you think's going on with him? This is going on a lot more. She said, he's probably under a little stress. I said, yeah, he probably is. But so when you give a bunch of grief to Sleepy Joe and his speech impediment, at least he's not making up words like Covfefe and whatever else this ding-dong is doing. And one other thing, I saw it on the way over here, and I just have to comment. I saw one of these guys in their big truck with their Come and Get Them sticker, which is a reference to Leonidas and the Battle of Thermopylae. And I'm pretty sure they actually said that. But again, where is it that you people are coming up with the idea that your Second Amendment rights are somehow in danger? That's just pure insanity. It's like you got to pick something to be mad about, so you pick something to be mad about that you have no reason to be mad about. The Second Amendment's never been more firmly enshrined, unfortunately, in my opinion, than it is right now. I mean, they won't even ban a 500-round clip. You know, you can't do anything about it. And so I don't understand, one, why you think it makes you a patriot to put a flag in your window and say, I protect the Second Amendment. No, it just makes you stupid. It just means that you're just going to jump on something that you don't really know anything about, don't understand, and you want to create some risk that doesn't even exist. How about you take some of that negative energy and turn it to positive energy, go down to your city council and say, will you fix our streets? How about that? That'd be fun. Anyway, so moving on to, you're going to build a house. So what's step one? Let's see. Step one is vet your contractor. Step two is vet your contractor. And step three is, again, vet your contractor. I can get a general contractor's license in this state. That means anybody can, and everybody has one. And every time that we need something built, people get their general contractor's license and they don't have any idea what they're doing. And I understand the balance between over-regulation and under-regulation. Idaho is way on the under-regulation side, and like California is way on the over-regulation side. Somewhere in the middle is where we need to meet. I mean, in the state of Idaho, you can't do electrical or plumbing unless you're licensed and you can, you know what you're doing and prove to people you know what you're doing. And I get it. You know, plumbing's not as dangerous. Electrical obviously is. But when I have four stories of construction material assembled above me in the basement and the person who put them together doesn't know what they're doing, well, that's kind of dangerous too, especially in a place with no snow load at all. I mean, it never happens here. I mean, especially when you have snow loads that vary from literally street to street in this town. That's why you find the heaviest snow load and you make sure your contractor is building your house to withstand the possible as heaviest snow load you might ever see. Anyway, so vet your contractor. Number two is, remember, we've talked about LLCs, corporations, why they say LLC and corporation. It means because you're not dealing with a person, you're dealing with a company. And you don't know what that company owns. And if that company has me as their attorney, they don't own anything. The contractor leases the trucks, the materials, whatever, the equipment, all of it is leased to the company. And so if the company gets sued, there's nothing to grab. So that's something to look out for too, which on a side note, I just found out the feds apparently passed a law that says that if you're going to have a company, you have to like upload all this information, like your driver's license, your social security number, who are the owners of the company, all this stuff, which even I'm going, that's a bit invasive. But that's what you need to know is, who am I really dealing with? And here's the big tip. If the person you're going to hire is the cheapest one you can find, well, every construction defect case I've ever had, that's usually the first thing they say to me. Well, he was the cheapest. Uh-huh. He was the cheapest. And now you're in bed with this guy, and it's really difficult to switch. And so they give you a, quote, estimate, which we'll get to what that means. And so you're like, oh, great. And then, of course, once they're in and, you know, things just keep going up, you have an estimate, not a bid. So that's the one thing, the first thing to look out for is how are they billing you? Because if they give you, I just did a case. The reason I'm bringing this up is I just got done with a case where the guy had a, quote, bid estimate. And I made a point with him. I'm like, is this a bid or is it an estimate? And he said, it's an estimate. It says it right there. Because a bid means that the contractor is assuming all the risk of unknown conditions. And so if they give you a bid, you better read it carefully and make sure, you look for the contingencies and whatever. Because generally what they'll do is they'll give you a bid and say, but if I tear up your floorboards and I find a bunch of rotten floor joists, well, that's time and materials. And if you don't see that in what they're giving you, then you need to really question who you're dealing with. And that's the reason for this is there's time and materials contracts, and there are cost plus contracts, and then there are bids. Bids are very rare because they're really risky. Time and materials and cost plus are far more common. Now, what you got to watch out for, I mean, obviously they make sense. Time and material means I'm going to charge you X for my time and you're going to pay for the materials. A cost plus means I'm going to charge you nothing. I'm just going to charge you the cost of my labor and I'm going to charge you the cost of my materials plus a certain percentage. And here's what you got to watch out for, mainly in the cost plus, is they will say this is cost plus, and then they will give you a list of rates that they're going to charge for their various laborers. And I got into this once in a case where it was a cost-plus contract, and there was a list of labor rates. And the labor rates were probably, you know, true cost-plus for a fully burdened labor rate for an employee is about 1.33% of what you're paying them. So if you're paying them $20 an hour, it's, you know, 1.33% of $20 an hour. That's their fully burdened labor rate. Well, in a cost-plus, if you don't specify what is your cost, well, then the only cost you get is what you pay. So if you have a contractor that know what they're doing, then they will say cost plus administrative overhead plus this. But in a time and materials, when they say it's the time, that's fine. Now, what they've done, and I saw this in Priest Lake about 10 years ago on a multi-million dollar house, they said it's cost plus, here are the labor rates. Well, like I said, the labor rates were three times what they were paying these people. And so we went to arbitration on this, and the contractor's argument was, well, she agreed to the rates. And I said, did you tell her that those weren't cost? Well, no. But she agreed to them. I'm like, well, yeah, but did you tell her that $60 an hour is not, you know, fully burdened labor of $20 an hour? And the guy's like, no. And the arbitrator made him pay back, I think, around $300,000 because of that screw up. And so the initial contract with a contractor is probably the most important thing. You need to really carefully read it, make sure that they're going to bill you in a certain way, and look out for disclosures that they should be doing. I mean, if you have a contractor that knows what they're doing, then they're going to have all these disclosures about your ability to file, or your ability to acquire lien releases, and your ability to know who the subs are, all that stuff. And it's a big set of statutory requirements. And if your contractor doesn't know about that, well, maybe they know how to swing a hammer, but they don't know how to run a business. And if they don't know how to run a business, it means they probably don't know how to bill you. And so you got to watch out for that. The next big thing is the plans. Just look at the plans and get your plans engineered. And most people are like, well, that's an unnecessary expense. Well, it's really not, because if an engineer signs off on something and the contractor follows the engineer's recommendations, if anything goes wrong, the engineer is on the hook. And you'd way rather have an engineer on a hook than a contractor who owns nothing and is not worth anything at all. Engineers have general liability and malpractice insurance just like lawyers do, and so that's the guy you want. But make sure that you have your plans, and don't let the contractor tell you you're wrong about your plans. They love to do that, and they want to change things and help you. Generally, it's so they can save themselves some money. And real quick before I forget, if you got somebody who does give you a bid, that's something you have to be really careful with, because bids are time and materials, but they're not charging you time and materials, meaning the quicker they get it done, the more money they make. And building a house fast is never a good idea. I've had probably four different construction defect cases that were because it was a bid, and the guy built the house in 2 weeks. And so that's the main reason to avoid a bid. It's better just to keep an eye on them and make them charge you for your time and see what they're doing. Let's see. Oh, I've got a few minutes here. Talked about the disclosures, and I'm not going to read them to you. They're pretty boring. If you go to the internet and just type in, what should my contractor be disclosing to me in the deal, you can see all that. But really all it's telling you is that you have the right to demand lien releases before you pay them, and you have the right to know who is actually working at your house. Seems fairly reasonable. And then the next thing is to look in your contract for, well, let's just wait because we're close enough to the break. I'm just going to talk about, quote, the warranty, which is probably the most useless two words in any contract, because it doesn't really help you unless you understand how it works and what it's actually limiting. Anyway, we're coming up our next break. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. We are talking about construction defect stuff. Write this one down in case you want to build a house or enter into any kind of a contract with a contractor, and listen to it again. And we will be right back.
Bonner's Ferry Glass has long been the place to go for a multitude of services, including rock chip repair or windshield replacement and lock and key services. Plus, you'll always find a staff of trained professionals at Bonner's Ferry Glass. If you need commercial and or residential doors, windows, garage doors, screens, screen window and door repair, or even custom glass cutting for tabletops or picture frames, they do it all at Bonner's Ferry Glass on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
If you have high blood pressure, you may not see or feel symptoms, but the results of high blood pressure, like heart attack or stroke, are far from invisible or silent. If you don't think this could happen to you, you're not alone. There are about 116 million people with high blood pressure in the United States. Now is the time to take control of your high blood pressure. Talk to your provider at Kiniksu Community Health and keep a happy, healthy heart. Learn more at kchni.org.
If you're a private landowner with even a couple of acres of timber, it's wise to periodically hire a professional logger to assess your property for threat of wildfire and disease. Then, work to minimize those threats with highly selective thinning. Careful, strategic thinning of the timber on your property not only helps minimize the risk of wildfire, disease, and pest infestation, but encourages new growth for long-term sustainability. Since 1990, Sierra Logging has been working with private landowners to help protect their assets. Property lines are clearly defined, roads carefully established or maintained. Leftover slash and brush is methodically piled on the site, dutifully cleaned up afterwards. Log truck drivers are courteous and sensitive to landowners and their neighbors. And you, as a landowner, are paid directly by the sawmill. No middleman, ever. Phone Sierra Logging for a free consultation at 509-671-1158 or visit sierralogging.com and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, come on, let's go outside. Don Thomas here for Sandpoint Furniture, inviting you all to a great new way to indulge yourself at home. Sandpoint Furniture has brought in a new higher-end outdoor line of furniture called Bitterroot Outdoor, made by the Amish in St. Ignatius, Montana, and they're always known for their craftsmanship. Each piece of Bitterroot Outdoors is thoughtfully designed and built with a poly-tough material with a 20-year warranty that will stand up to all of our weather elements, rain, snow, and bright sunny days, without the hassle of covering or maintenance. With several collections and color combinations to choose from, you'll be sure to find the perfect complement to your outdoor space. So the people at Sandpoint Furniture and the folks at Bitterroot Outdoor encourage you to get out with friends and family and enjoy dinner on the patio, drinks around the fire pit, or just relaxing on your deck year-round in comfort and in style. That's Sandpoint Furniture across from the Bonner Mall in Ponderay, still making your house a home for almost 80 years.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I only say Arthur because Art, I get Hart, Mark, Arthur. Nobody screws that one up. I don't insist on being called Arthur or anything for that matter. And before I forget, that case that I was telling you about with this guy and the bid estimate, that goes into the pile of cases that I tell clients in mediation when they say, you said I had a good case. And I said, no, I said you have good facts. That no such thing as a good case. When you go into mediation or any kind of a settlement deal, if you can find a way to swallow whatever it is and get her done, do it. I mean, just do it. You'll trust me. If you're willing to do it and you make the decision to settle something, then you can live with it. But when you go to court and a judge does something stupid, you'll never, ever get over it like this case. So I had this guy on the stand. And so if you have a time and materials contract or you have a cost plus contract, when you come into court to get paid the balance of what you're owed, you have to prove the entire bill. So you have to show up with all your time, all your materials. You got to lay it all out, say, here's how much the total project costs and here's what they still owe me. Well, this guy, when we get to trial, he has one exhibit of one invoice and he has no time. Nothing to substantiate what he had done. And so, you know, obviously I know the law on the subject, so I pick up on this and he, you know, I wasn't even asking him. His own lawyer was like, is this a bid or an estimate? And he goes, oh, it's an estimate. It says it right on there. So I jump all over that for the next 3 days. I probably five different times make it real clear. You were getting paid on a time and materials basis, correct? Yes, I was. Time and materials. And so if you would have pulled up the floorboards and saw some rotten floor joists, you would have just, you wouldn't have eaten that. You would have, you know, billed them. Yeah, I'm time and materials. Well, you know what the court said? Clearly this was a bid. It's like, oh yeah, we're on appeal, as you can guess. But clearly this is a bid when the guy said it's not. I mean, and then I did a motion to reconsider. And of course, the judge who handled the case got appointed to the Supreme Court. She didn't hear that. And the new judge did. Guy didn't even address it. Well, I think she made the right choice. So, wait a minute. The plaintiff said it was time and materials, and the court said, no, it wasn't. We never said it was a bid. Nobody said it was a bid. I mean, it will get reversed on appeal, period. I mean, you don't appeal questions of fact. When a trial court makes a decision on an issue of fact, which fact am I going to believe, you don't appeal that. I mean, you can, but you'll lose, and you'll pay attorney's fees for doing it. But in a case when the trial court makes a finding on a question of fact that nobody testified to, well, you're not going to lose that one. And so, anyway, that's why, again, find a way to settle your case. First of all, slow down, don't get mad. And if you do get mad, don't talk. I mean, if people would just not talk when they're mad, I'd lose half my business. But thankfully, they still do. Anyway, back to construction stuff. So you're looking at your contract and there's a warranty. Generally, a warranty in a construction contract is not a warranty. It's a limitation of warranties. With every house, there's what we call the implied warranty of habitability of any house that you build and buy from a new construction, which means that it's built in the way it should be. And so if you look at your contract with your contractor, there should be big black bold letters that say, we are disclaiming the warranty of inhabitability. Or of habitability. That should be your big, huge red flag. I'm like, why would you disclaim the fact that you're going to build this correctly? And then they say, oh, we're going to give you a one-year warranty. But then they don't describe what that means. I mean, a warranty is a word. An actual warranty is generally a multiple-page document. It's a little bit like an insurance policy that tells you, you know, what we're going to pay for when these certain types of things happen. And, you know, if I'm building a $600,000 house and my contractor's only going to warrant his work for a year, I wouldn't do business with him. I mean, I just wouldn't, because a lot of stuff with houses takes a long time to go wrong, not just a year. I mean, I told you, I don't know how many shows ago, about the case where the 700,000 square foot house, well, it wasn't, it was 7,000 square feet, and it was a custom log home, which is very heavy, sitting on a stick frame daylight basement. Stick frame is meaning that, like, what your house is probably built out of, you know, 2x4s and whatever. But anyway, the whole front of the house was sitting on about 14 inches of organic material, which means that in 20 years, the whole house is going to crack right down the long axis of the foundation. I mean, it's just a fact. That's another case that went into the pile of, so you think you have good facts? Settle it. Because, of course, the judge said, well, the floor is still level. I'm like, yeah, it is still level because the house is 2 years old, you ding-dong. What is it about 20 years? And their expert, my expert, everybody agreed it's going to happen. And so that's why if they're limiting their warranties, you should be concerned. If they want to say 5 years, fine. And you can dicker with these things. You don't have to sign them. I mean, you can just say, all right, well, 1 year is fine, but how about things like the foundation, right? Because we're not going to know anything about the foundation being done wrong for a long time, most likely. And, you know, just alter it. Just look at it. Don't be like me who just signs it because he's too lazy to read it. Yeah, I'm like the doctor who smokes. Just sign it. It's fine. Don't worry about it. All right, during the build, first of all, probably the most important thing I can tell you, if you're relying on some government inspection, well, don't. I used to think that Bonner County getting away with their, quote, building department was a bad idea until I did enough of these cases where all the government's doing is giving you some false idea that something's done right, and they don't have a clue what they're doing. And people like, well, can we sue them? No, you can't sue them. Those inspections are... you can't sue them for screwing it up. I mean, this house that I just told you about, they approved these sonotubes, which are those cement things, you know, you used to like put under your porch to structural support. The sonotubes were sitting on top of the grass, which means by definition is sitting on organic material, which means in 10 years, that's going to sink 8 to 10 inches and rip off the roof of the porch, which happens to be attached to the house. Of course, the government inspectors looked at it and said, it's fine. You know, they didn't. How could you look at something sitting on grass and say that it's okay? I mean, they're just absolutely useless. If you want to feel good about what you're doing with your house, what you do is hire a separate builder, and their only job is to come in even once a day at the end of the day and walk around, pay them just to walk around and look, and then they're not the contractor, and you know, you're not the one being mean to the contractor. I'm like, I just hired this guy, and he's just telling me that you didn't do this right, and you know, explain yourself and or fix it. And the other thing that that does is then these other contractors, most of the time, they're not wise enough to have a limitation like a home inspector. When you buy a house and you hire these home inspectors, we've been through this, which if you hire them and they miss a $300,000 mold remediation problem, well, their contract disclaims all liability other than the $500 you paid them. And again, a home inspector, I can be a home inspector. And that's just not right. So don't hire home inspection companies. I don't care how highly they come recommended. They don't know what they're doing. I can tell you the name of one or two that do. But for the most part, they don't have a clue. And so you need to get a professional in there just to keep eyes on your project. At the same time you have this person in there, they can be photographing everything as it goes. The biggest problem with construction defect cases is everything's covered up with drywall. And so we have no idea what's behind this, you know, and homeowners love it when I say, well, yeah, here's my expert witness. He's going to cut a 4-foot hole in your wall and that's, you're going to have to fix it later, I suppose. And so documenting everything as you go, and even if you don't hire somebody to do this or to inspect, you should do it. I mean, literally every day. Go in there, just take your phone. I mean, it's not like you're spending money on developing film here. Just video everything. So if anything comes up later at all, and you have a sagging door frame, whatever, well, then you come to a guy like me and I take your videos to my expert and you can go, yeah, that header is undersized. I can see that it's undersized. It's not the right thing. Now, as opposed to, well, I don't know if it's undersized, but it's sagging, so let's cut a huge hole in your drywall to make sure, because I'm not going into court with them thinking that's what it is. I want to know. So that's a big deal. I'd hire a private, call me if you want, send me an email, say, who do I use? I've got a whole bevy of expert witnesses who'd be more than happy to come in and, you know, inspect the work that's going on. Let's see, are we now? I already got that. Oh, progress billing. That's the other thing. This case that I just was telling you about, they just kept writing this guy $30,000 checks like every 5 weeks with no invoicing, no bill. You know, just paying towards the $160,000 quote bid estimate, whatever that was. So they had no idea what he was doing, no how much time he was spending, no idea what he's paying anybody. And just make them give you progress payments and also make sure that they get lien releases from all the subs. And you do need to know the names of the subs because you don't want, you know, these guys don't pay them. I mean, I see it all the time. I pay you for the appliances. You use that to pay somebody else you owe money to. And then the appliance company liens the house and you've got to pay them. That's what we call a mechanics lien, which, you know, it's something that we'll have to talk about after the break. But basically what it does is a mechanics lien is a priority lien that puts the contractor in front of anybody who might try to intervene in priority from when you owe them money and when they try to sue you. So generally in a lawsuit, you can't lien anything. You have to get a judgment and then you can, you know, lien and attach things. Well, this is a statute that allows you to lien something ahead of time if you put money and work into the property and they haven't paid you. And it's mainly for the benefit of subcontractors because a subcontractor cannot sue a homeowner to get paid, because there's no contract between the sub and the homeowner. That's what the lien statute is designed to do. Anyway, we're coming up on the last break. I'll talk a little bit more about liens when I get back. This is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, and we'll be right back.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel, or desktop. There's something special and satisfying about building your home using local wood. Its beauty and strength are hard to beat. Be sure to check with Thick and Thin Lumber first for all your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out the website, tntbeams.com.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Earth Day bonuses are back at Pacific Steel and Recycling in Ponderay. Monday, April 22nd through Friday, April 26th, Pacific will be celebrating Earth Day all week by paying bonuses on your aluminum, copper, brass, and aluminum cans. We will also be giving away a steel MS-271 chainsaw and a 55-inch Samsung Smart TV. So celebrate Earth Day by cleaning up and turning your metal trash into cash. Pacific Steel and Recycling, located at 1000 Triangle Drive in Ponderay.
Follow the yellow brick road of tags at Winter Ridge. Shop your favorite month-to-month by looking for the yellow sales tag. Plus, save money day-to-day by shopping our Community Choice program. Look for the Community Choice tags and the Cadia brand on shelf for high-quality organic products. Food is an investment, and we're honored you choose to fill your carts and feed your family with Winter Ridge products. Winter Ridge, your community choice for local, natural, and delicious, at the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
The downtown Sandpoint Shopping District is up to it again with our 10th annual Spring Fling, April 27th. Kickoff is at Barrel 33 at noon. Grab a passport and hit the town for a chance to win tickets to see the Wallflowers in Spokane and over $1,000 in gift cards from your participating businesses to be given out throughout the day. You must be present to win. Drawings will be held at 7 p.m. at the Ponderay Winery or at the 219 Lounge. The Sandpoint Shopping District Spring Fling Event.
Former CI Officer Jason Hansen here, inviting you to a special financial briefing this Thursday. As a former CI Officer, I protected my country and family from threats for decades. Now I recommend that all Americans guard their financial security from threats to the U.S. dollar. During this exclusive summit, you'll get top strategies for safeguarding your wealth and creating a bulletproof financial plan. Call my friends at Advantage Gold today at 800-741-GOLD to register for free. Again, 800-741-G-O-L-D right now.
Paid for by Advantage Gold. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
News Talk 97.1 KSPT KBFI.
Welcome back to Common Law. I'm your host, Art Beislein. We were talking about mechanics liens. Okay, first of all, don't lose your mind if somebody puts a mechanics lien on your house. It doesn't do anything to change anything in your life, unless, of course, you want to sell your house or refinance your house. So it can just sit there. As I said, all it does is give the contractor a priority date above other creditors that might intervene between this person gets when they get their judgment and when they first sue you. So that's all it really does. But the main thing it also does that I don't like at all is there's an attorney's fees provision in the lien statute, which makes sense if you're dealing with the sub who had no contractual relationship with the homeowner. But when you have a general contractor that has a direct contractual relationship with the homeowner, if they didn't have the common sense to put an attorney's fees provision in the contract, then they shouldn't get one by filing a lien. And actually, one of these people running for state senate asked me, like, what would you do different? I'm like, well, one, I'd get rid of all you people down there and I'd just be in charge. I just didn't know I didn't say that. Well, I did, kind of. Anyway. I'm like, there's all kinds of statutes you people write that you don't litigate. So you don't know how they work. You don't know the mayhem that your stupidity in Boise causes because you apparently don't have anybody who's ever done a lawsuit look at what you're writing. And she's like, what? And I said, well, this is a problem. You know, I have this case where the guy didn't have an attorney's fees provision, but he got one because he had a lien. So now what's that leave you in? If you're in the position of, if you have a lien and you don't want it there, well, you can post basically alternative security to get rid of the lien. But you're still in the materiam in lien statute, which still then has an attorney's fees provision. So what do you do? Well, the only thing you can do is just pay it. And, well, you're saying, well, that's the point in the statute. I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But what if your contractor files a bogus $150,000 lien, and even if he only collects $20,000 on that, it's still an attorney's fees case. So now you're in the position of, all right, well, I got to write this guy a $150,000 check, not this guy, his LLC, which doesn't own anything. So I don't have to deal with attorney's fees at the end of this case, and everybody has to pay their own fees, which always helps everybody settle things quicker. So I'm going to give this joker $150,000 to get rid of that. And now he's going to spend my $150,000. And then when I try to get it back, he won't have it. And they'll bankrupt the company. You're out of luck. So that's the main problem with the lien statute, is this attorney's fees thing. And I would, if I were you, make sure there's an attorney's fees provision in the contract with the contractor. Everybody needs to know that, if this goes south, we're all going to maybe be paying everybody else's fees, which helps things settle a lot faster when you're looking at, especially in these smaller lawsuits where I write them a letter. I'm like, you only owe this guy $7,000. And if you don't pay him, well, I'm going to spend $7,000 in a month. And then that'll, it'll end up, you're going to owe me four times more than you owe him in the first place. And so that's, why that's the reason you want that is it's mutually assured destruction. Now, I'll tell you folks out there, I would never recommend suing anybody for less than about $50,000. I mean, unless it's like a promissory note, fine. Anything else, it's just not worth it. Your money is better spent somewhere else. I mean, I tell when my clients get sued and the guy wants $20,000-$30,000, I'm like, well, give him $20,000. What do you mean? But I don't owe him that. I'm like, I don't care if you owe him that. I mean, why would you pay me and guess when you can pay him and know, right? And, oh, they don't like that. I'd say about, 2 out of 10 listen to me on that. The rest of them just go, well, I'd rather pay you than him. And I said, that's great. And then I'm going to write you a letter that says, hey, I'll mow your lawn for my hourly rate, but this is insane. CYA. I mean, because, you get to the end of the case. Well, this costs a lot of money. We didn't win. I'm like, yeah, and I told you this was stupid. But I don't judge. You tell me where you want the bus to go, and I drive the bus. Maybe I've told you this before, but I think it was 3 years ago. I did a case where we spent $45,000 in attorney's fees, and we won. We got everything we knew we were going to get, and that was $2,500. And it's not an attorney's fees case. And the guy was rich and mad. And so I think I wrote him probably five times saying, this is really stupid, but whatever. I mean, I'd rather you give your money to send some kid to college than pay me to do something this stupid. But that's what they sometimes want to do. And that's what we have to do. Let me see. What was I on the contractor thing here? Oh, yes. Here is the biggest thing that contractors will do. I see it all the time. Is one, they like to reuse the stuff they're taking out of your house, but they don't pay you for it. And then two, they like to use stuff that they took out of another house and use it in your house and tell you that it's new, which is, for the most part, it's okay. But occasionally they get, really tight. I had one guy who installed a whole bunch of rotten 2x4s. I'm like, how could you possibly think this is okay? I mean, we opened up the wall and I hit it with a hammer and half of it disintegrated. I'm like, how did you even get a screw or a nail to even sit in this thing? And the guy's like, well, I thought it was fine. Which again, comes back to, vet your contractor because, standards for people are wildly different in North Idaho, as you know. Some people's junkyard is other people's treasure chest. And that also goes with contractors. With a whole lot of contractors, it's good enough. With a whole lot of other contractors, it's not good enough. I mean, the guy who, a good friend of mine who redid our whole house, I was watching him do something. I'm like, what are you doing? So, well, he's doing this. I'm like, well, nobody's going to see that. He goes, I don't care. I'm like, well, I do. Don't waste your time making something look nice that nobody's ever going to see. But, you know, he's the kind of guy who took way too long to get it done, and not too long for my wife probably and I, but you know that it's done right. I mean, it's done right, no shortcuts. I mean, nothing is ever just good enough, and people like that are rare. And you have to be patient, and you have to let them take their time. And he's, I hope he's not listening, but he likes to fish and ski, and so I think sometimes the fishing and skiing might have gotten away of everything, but either way, it just knowing that the guy cares more about what he's doing than you do, or the gal, I shouldn't say guy all the time, but that's what you're looking for. I was just going to tell you about one other thing and what to watch out for. Oh, permitting. Seems like a simple thing, right? Well, when you come to buy a house and then the title company's somehow finds out there's no permitting, which I had no idea they even did that, well, then that's a huge problem to sell a house. Like, I just built a cabin and they put in the wrong pump tank for my septic system. They said you should put a plastic tank in instead of a concrete tank on an island. Yeah, you know, the reason those islands are out there in that lake, they had like 2 miles of ice above them. They're still there because they're rock, solid rock. I mean, where we go, there are these huge round river rocks. And I take people on a walk. I'm like, how do you think that got here? I'm like, I don't know. Did somebody bring it here? I'm like, no, man, it came off a glacier. It's just a huge round glacier rock that's where it just landed. And that's how much topsoil we have out there, is that rock's been there for 16,000 years and it's not even kind of buried. So anyway, my point is, I called these people up. I'm like, you're telling me to put a plastic tank in a solid chunk of broken up shale, sharp. Yep, that's what we want you to do. And what was more interesting, I'm like, well, why? Well, we have an approved list of products. And I said, well, where is this list? And so he sends me the list. Guess where all of it's made? Idaho, which is so illegal. I mean, it's called a violation of the Commerce Clause. You can't say you can only buy products from Idaho. You can say you will only buy products made in the United States. That's fine. But you can't say I'll only buy products from Idaho, or I'll, you know, you can't do that. It's totally illegal. But anyway, that's again, back to the whole governmental side of this whole project. Don't look for common sense there, folks. You know, I know I'm starting to sound like a bit of a Trumper, but the government is generally not anybody you want to rely on for anything. And so they don't know what they're doing, and they get on the government dole and they get happy in what they're, you know, how they're going, but they don't really care about what you or your house or how it's getting done. Anyway, I think we're almost out of time. I don't know what else to tell you about building a house. I guess go back to the beginning, vet your contractor. Find out some other projects this contractor may have done. And the contractor is only going to tell you people that were happy with him or her. Well, that means at least somebody was happy. I mean, if you can find one or two happy people and a contractor, especially a guy building custom houses, I mean, that's custom houses are worse than lawsuits. But find out other projects they've done. They're always going to have pretty pictures. And in any construction defect case, that's a big problem. I'm doing one now where the house is beautiful. I mean, it's just blow you away, amazing house. But it's got all kinds of serious structural problems. And, you know, you go into a jury or a judge and they look at this and they just go, that thing is amazing, beautiful. What do you mean I got to tear it down? And that's, you know, the big catch is they don't want to waste money to rip down pretty things. Anyway, I hope you found this instructive. I wrote it, I think, 2 shows ago, and I canceled one, and then I had Jill last time, so it's nice that I didn't have to work it up today. But if you have any questions about contractors or builders, or even if you just want me to look at the contract this person has presented to you, just send it to me. I will look at it. and shoot me a text first, because I don't check that common law 7B very often. And I'll give you my cell phone number. It's 208-660-5681. Anyway, I'm getting played off. So this has been Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. I hope you all have a wonderful remainder of this April.